Yeah, so Protecting God's Children is this Saturday. I'm taking it with Katie.
Wait, what is Protecting God's Children?
It's... I'm trying to, like, adjust this, too, so I can actually hear myself. Protecting God's Children is essentially a class that you have to take in order to be able to go into the classrooms at Catholic school.
Ah, okay. And got it.
You know, show that you will protect God's children and you won't do bad things to God's children.
Makes sense. Like, and I'm assuming you need to do it for work. Like, for...
I'm doing it for work. For work. And for her, so I can go in the classroom and read. You know, be like a mystery reader one day. Oh. I can read to the class if I have that certification.
You have to get certified for that?
They want you to, yeah.
Huh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Katie's doing it so she can be like a homeroom mom and stuff like that.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, so that's busy, busy.
Cool. I'll say, yeah, busy as hell. I've not been on this recording platform since, what, May, when we last recorded, me and you?
Yeah, I have not seen you since your wedding.
That is true.
And we have, I said this last week, but I'll say it again this week. The episode Season's End was January 18th. And then the episode before that was, or the one after that, excuse me, was Magic Lose Game 7.
That was the last
Jags offseason recap, which was May 5th.
You know, I listened to the game, this episode May 5th, like recently, because I'm like, you know, now we're getting in the swing of football. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I got to know what I sounded like. Like, what do we talk about? And that was the last time I was on when we lost Game 7. And we've had free agency occur. We've had the draft occur.
Two preseason games occur.
Wait, really? I didn't even know we had preseason games. No, oh.
I'm thinking, talking Jags.
I'm thinking Magic.
But no, yeah. They're coming up. Preseason is coming up.
Media Day is coming up soon. So, yeah, I've been MIA for a little bit, to say the least. But it's been chaotic, honestly.
Well, you have good reason. I said it last week, but again, congratulations to...
Oh, thank you. I have not listened to the episode last week.
You're still Mr. Yaji, but yeah. You know.
That's fair.
But we are sitting here, episode 108. Actually, I want to clear something up for our listeners here. You might have noticed, if you listen on Spotify or... I don't even know what platforms it shows on, but I changed the logistics of it. I don't know if you saw, but it says Season 8, Episode 1. Create this as a new season.
Yes,
almost.
It does show on Apple Podcasts. It says Season 8, Episode 1.
And then it says also right after that, Episode 107. So, like, I might get rid of the EP and just leave it at just 107 or 108 for this one, just to kind of clean it up so it doesn't show episode.
Oh, are you talking about the, like, Episode 106, 107? You're just getting rid of that?
Yeah, I guess it does look kind of good there. Go back to the home.
I just clicked on the home of the episode. It says episode Season 8, Episode 1.
So okay, it looks cleaner there. Yeah. Okay, it looks weirder on my computer.
And it says clean rating, which come after Jags loss, it might go explicit.
Yeah, we'll bullshit.
Literally.
No, but this is episode 108 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. He's Mike Yazji. I'm Keith Manzi.
Do we still have that sponsorship?
We do. Absolutely do. There have actually been a couple sales, so I appreciate anyone that has used our promo code DIMESDEN. It is not as nice as it used to be. We were getting floods and floods of people ordering, and then there was actually a snafu in the system. So Nerdy Nuts actually took down every person's code that was on one of those like code referral sites.
Really?
And yeah, like Retail Me Not, all those, like they took down everyone, or if you had a code on there, they sent you an email and said you had to get rid of it or they would revoke your thing. Because apparently some of the new people that became ambassadors complained, saying it was an unfair advantage. I disagree, because I didn't put it on there. I still have no idea how our code got on that website. But it helped us a lot.
Yeah, it did.
And some of these people that were like the top sellers, they're still on there. And so they had a meeting maybe a month after that because so many people pushed back.
Did you attend it or no?
I tried. It was an inconvenient time. So I just said,
because obviously I don't get the emails. You were the ambassador. Like, you were the one.
Right. And so once they went through the whole process, they let people speak and they all aired their grievances. And they reversed it. And they're like, yeah, you can put your stuff back up on there if you want. And I'm like, oh, well, crap. Now mine's gone and it's never going to get to the top level that it was. So since then, we've probably had like 10 sales. And before that, we were, you know, in the hundreds.
We can try maybe putting it back on ourselves, maybe.
I tried. it's hard. It's hard to bump it up. How you have to have people. So you have to have people use it. So when they copy the code on, this is not every website. They have to copy the code, and then there's a place where they can rate it or say like how much they saved, and that'll boost you up the more you do. So
people, if you don't mind, just go on Google and type in dimes 10.
No, don't type in dimes 10. Type in dimes on Nerdy Nuts promo codes. And if you go there, let me see here, because I have the website that we use the most.
Okay, Nerdy Nuts discount code. I do see that.
Yeah, so the first one is Simply Codes, but We Thrift is the one that I was on the most. And it's kind of hard to see. We might be still on here, like really far down. But if you don't see it, just go ahead and type it in. Yeah, I don't see it. So scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you can submit a Nerdy Nuts coupon. You can type in dimes 10 on the coupon code. 10% is the savings, and there's no conditions, and you just hit submit, and that will get us back on there. So
you said it's 10% off.
10%. Yep. Cool. Oh, well, might as well just do the ad read right now anyway.
Yeah, might as well.
The flavors that just came out this past Sunday: Better Than Anything Brownie, Frosted Butterscotch, Cocoa Nutty Cookie, which is just a Samoa, Dirty Dog Peanut Butter, Peanut Butter Pie Peanut Butter, Banana Cream Pie Peanut Butter, Bougie Brownie Peanut Butter, and Avalanche. And Avalanche is actually one of their best sellers. I'm going to read this to you real quick. It is 5 delicious layers of white chocolate, marshmallow fluff, mini marshmallows, caramel, crispy rice. Just an insane combination that makes for a very, very popular peanut butter. So if you decide to purchase some Nerdy Nuts peanut butter, go ahead and use that promo code DIMES10 to get 10% off your purchase. I will actually see your name pop up and see that you used it, and I will thank you personally.
Sounds like a hell of an ad read there, Keith.
Well, welcome back. It's great to have you back in here, man. I've missed you. It's been a hot minute since I've been able to see you. Married life, you know, I know is very important, but we got a lot to catch up on. We got Jaguars to talk about. We got to talk about the Noles since they play this weekend.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, the classic little local update at the end. So let's go Jags first, okay?
Okay.
2 preseason games in, 2-0. Just beat the Buccaneers 20-7.
Hold that thought. Yeah. You said 2-0. I really don't give a shit about records.
Okay. I don't either. I'm just, you know,
because
just saying
it. Because every time someone says, oh, we went undefeated in the preseason, absolutely means nothing.
Didn't the year we won, like, two games we went
not
4-0?
Even that. The winless 2008
right.
Lions,
yep.
Or whatever year they went winless.
Yeah.
They went 4-0 in the preseason, and they lost every single regular season game in the games that actually mattered. So miss me with all that shit about going undefeated in the preseason. I don't care.
I'll be sure not to mention it ever again. I'm so sorry,
not
sir.
You. I just say, like, when people mention, like, oh, we can go undefeated, I don't care. I'd rather lose in the preseason. As long as we win games in the regular season, that's what matters.
Okay, with that stipulation, yes. I mean, winning is great. I loved seeing the backups look good.
I will say I did like seeing the social media team just go off when they won. What was it? Matey or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Matey. The memes they made about the Buccaneers. But yes, I don't. That's irrelevant to me. But yes, continue with what you're saying. We beat the Buccaneers on Saturday. I watched 30 seconds of it. You went to the game.
Well, okay, I'll preface with that. I did go to the game. Alisa and I actually went to the game together. We got free tickets from Action News Jax. Shout out Action News Jax, our partner, with my main job. But they hooked me up with Terrace Suite.
How are those? Do you like those?
It was amazing, dude.
Whenever anyone asks me, I feel like you can't go back after going to Terrace. You can't. You cannot.
Free food. Free food. Beer. Free wine. Free dessert, free. It was all just free.
The only thing
free.
Not free, liquor, yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah, and that was it.
But yeah, you can get so, I don't even know. You can get messed up.
Yep.
And whether that's mentally or stomachically, like stomach-wise.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got really full.
Yeah.
They had chicken wings. They had pot roast. They had pasta. They had tacos, burgers, dogs, sushi, like. All kinds of just delicious eats. And
I've been in every type of seat in the stadium. I've been in club seats, obviously the regular seats. I've been in a suite, luckily, before.
Same.
Terrace, I think, is the best seating.
I agree.
atmosphere in terms of food and drink and whatnot.
Elisa forgot. She just mentioned to me, I have to mention the churros, too.
They had the churros.
They had the Mr. Softee ice cream, and she got her vanilla ice cream and put the churro in it. I mean, just
God, we sound like cinnamon. A bunch of fat asses. Just...
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. That was great.
I think terrace seats are the best in the stadium.
Very casual. We were able to sit at a table outside and just kind of watch from there. We ended up going down to our seats briefly.
Did you guys see Marissa? I'm assuming, yeah, because I think that's her. They usually sit there.
I didn't really look for her. I saw the guy from Subaru, you know, drive a Subaru, you'll buy a Subaru. That guy on the commercials, I saw him there.
You sound exactly like him there.
And I saw another guy that I know too. But, no, it was a good time. And the Jaguars looked strong. At least Mac Jones looked really strong.
I did see, I was at Mellow Mushroom. Was it Saturday night? Saturday night with some of my friends and Julia. And I literally looked at TV and I see the touchdown pass from Jones to Washington in the first quarter, first half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice throw. But again, take it with a grain of salt. But I do believe that Mac Jones is a pretty damn good backup. And
that was actually going to be my next question. QB2?
Yeah, he's 100% QB2. There's no way you trade a pick for him if you don't think he's QB2. Now, the real concern is, you have a lot of money tied up in that quarterback position now. You have, obviously, Trevor, who signed a big deal in the offseason. You have Beathard, who's under contract, I think, for $2.5 million this year. And Mac Jones with whatever he's getting for the fourth year of his deal.
Right.
I don't know how much he's making, but, I mean, you have a lot of money tied up in that quarterback position. Do you really want to have a third-string quarterback making $2.5, $3 million and you can put that money towards a position of need or a position to fill out better depth? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll see who starts. I know Trevor is apparently going to be starting two quarters this upcoming week against Atlanta. But
Atlanta, yeah.
I don't get it, but that's another topic for another day. But I think it's interesting. I think Mac Jones definitely will be QB2 going into the year. I think Beathard will probably be cut, but if they want to keep him, it'll be interesting.
I have a feeling he'll be cut too, but I feel like he'll be back on the team because I think we're going to trade Mac Jones.
You think so?
I don't know. I feel like he's trade bait.
Interesting. I mean,
I think there's going to be a team that's, you know,
as long as they get a pick higher than what they gave up, like get a better pick.
Well, I think the only way he gets traded is if there's a team that is desperate for a quarterback. Like, you know, starter goes down.
There's a few right now.
The starter that's iffy goes down, like a Gardner Minshew or something like that, and they go down and they don't have full trust in whoever their backup is.
So are you saying he gets traded before the season or maybe week one, week two, week three?
Early in the season. Yeah, I'd say early in the season.
So you think they keep three quarterbacks then? As of right now, obviously we still have one more game.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, why not? Sure, I'll say that.
Interesting.
Just for funsies. Okay. His pass, by the way, in the fourth quarter was the best one to Easton.
He got cut today.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, he got cut today.
Well, it was Easton, a beautiful pass and a beautiful catch, but yeah, for not.
I do have a question. Did you know why he came back in?
Yes.
I did see he came back in.
Yeah, CJ Beathard, his groin. He had a groin issue.
Okay, because I did see on Twitter, everyone was like saying CJ Beathard looked so awful.
Yeah, he was hurt. He did not look fresh.
They might put him on the IR.
Yeah. They could. He did not look like himself though. Like,
really?
I'm pretty sure one of the times he just got sacked, he just kind of laid down and it was just like, "Oh man, that's not a good look." But again, if he's hurt, yeah, groin issue is what I read, so not a fun thing to hurt. But yeah, he came back in the fourth quarter and that's when he threw that pass to Easton.
Gotcha. Yeah.
R.I.P.
Easton got cut today. I did see that today.
Anybody else get cut today? I didn't see any cuts.
I only saw Easton got cut. But yeah, they're making that cut from 90 to 53. So
on the other side, Kyle Trask did look pretty good for a little while.
Did he? Because at the beginning, he looked like shit from what I saw in Mellow Mushroom.
No. Yeah, beginning was not good. But he completed 12 of 19 for 108 yards. He manufactured a nice drive and threw a TD pass to Cody Thompson to finish that drive. John Wolford did not look good. His first game in Everbank Field, actually.
John Wolford's on the Bucks?
Yeah, John Wolford's, yeah. He's the third string quarterback. And it was his first time in Everbank since he got honored as a senior way back when.
Really?
Yeah. Back in the Bishop Kenny days. So Yep, Brevin Easton waved. Yeah. He got destroyed a lot.
Johnny, yeah, well, I mean, that's...
He actually, it says here, he got knocked out with a minute 40 remaining when defensive end Yasir Abdullah drove him into the ground.
Yasir is going to be interesting. I think Yasir is fighting for a job, too.
Yeah, I like Yasir. I think you know who's fighting for their job the most out of everybody on this team?
Wait, don't tell me. Let me get... Is it offense or defense?
Defense.
Muma?
Mm-mm. Roy Robertson-Harris.
Really?
He played the entire first half of that game.
I mean, I haven't seen the game, so I don't know.
He has been terrible.
Really?
He has not looked good.
I have not watched a second of preseason, really, like, actually consistently focused
on
it.
I never really do either, but I just coincidentally
If he's that noticeably bad, then, yeah, he needs to probably hang him up, probably.
Yeah. He, you know, there's two rookie defensive tackles that could have used those snaps. And I understand that he did miss time with a foot injury, but bringing in Eric Armstead was already kind of like, hey, man.
Well, Armstead is a different level, but yeah.
Agreed. But, I mean.
I am so excited to see him play. I am so excited to see him play.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like this could be Roy Robertson-Harris's last year.
I can see that.
Yeah. Parker Washington still continues to impress, too.
He's a standout. He's making the team, and he might be the number four receiver.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably been the most hyped player on this roster.
By the way, would not surprise me if after this year he moves up and we move on from Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because of contract situation. But who knows? Unless Balky decides to give Kirk an extension, then that kind of dwarfs Parker Washington again.
Right. Well, I guess we'll have to see because, I mean, we put him in the slot last year. He won't be in the slot this year. He'll be moved outside.
Who, Kirk or?
No, Washington. Oh, Washington. And I think the odds of him playing an important role is going to be significant.
Well, it depends on the health of, obviously, Davis and
Kirk. Agreed.
I don't see Thomas getting off the field. He shouldn't. He is easily our deep threat.
So you didn't watch preseason, but did you see any of the Twitter highlights of him just absolutely burning Tampa Bay Buck corners
In practice?
And safeties? Yeah.
Yeah, I did see the clips on practice, yeah.
So he was doing that all during practice throughout the week. He was just literally just leaving them in the dust. In the game, he had a play where he looks like he was just going to go take off to the next level. They kept moving backwards. He stopped on a dime, turned towards the sideline, and caught a pass. It was just chef's kiss.
Just, so excellent route running is
he knows what to do. I think scouting is going to be a big thing for him, and if he scouts the opposition correctly, I think he is going to be an absolute game changer from day one.
God, I cannot wait to see him play.
Me too, man. Me too. And next week, I think, or the week after, we'll decide afterwards. We're going to do the schedule review. Or preview, excuse me, like we have done every year.
I think it's the better way to call it season predictions.
Season predictions for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's going to be, man, it's an interesting schedule. I've already, you know, obviously everyone's kind of already looked at it, but it could go a lot of different ways. And it really just depends, I think, on health is going to be number one, because that always seems to be the case. And then Trevor Lawrence. So that's going to be fun to see. And one last thing, I got to give props to, I got to remember his name, Cole Van Lannen, is the PFF's Offensive Player of the Week. Through 2 weeks of the preseason, Van Lannen is PFF's highest graded offensive line and run blocker, and he has also allowed zero pressures on 63 pass block snaps. That's good to see. I'm pretty sure, though, he's like Anton Harrison's backup, which is like...
Honestly, Harrison...
Anton has been such a monster. I want Van Lannen or whatever to go replace, I don't know, like Mitch Morse or something. I'm just kidding.
Not Mitch Morse. Sheriff?
Sheriff, yeah. Somebody who's just stinking up.
Ezra, honestly, Mitch Morse has played like dog doo-doo in the practices. He has. But then again, I'll let it be practice than actual games.
Who was the center last year again? What's his name again?
Fortner,
dude, did you see the video of him just literally falling down?
Yes, I did. Yes.
There's a reason the Jags were so bad in short yardage situation last year, but I don't think Javon Foster even makes the team, though. The guy we drafted in the fourth round, he hasn't been looking very good either.
If anything, practice squad.
Yeah, so.
A lot of these rookies aren't going to make the team. They'll be practice squad.
Brian Thomas, yes. Mason Smith,
yes.
Yes. Jerrion Jones,
yes.
Yes. Foster.
Practice squad.
Jordan Jefferson.
Yes.
DeAndre Prince.
Position.
Corner.
Yes, because we have no depth at corner.
Keelan Robinson.
Yes, because Tank is hit or miss.
Cam Little. Yes. Starting kicker, 21-year-old, who kicked two field goals on his birthday the other day.
He kicked a 60-something yard field goal yet today. I'm like, what the? Mm-hmm. This guy is good. And hopefully we don't blow it.
Yeah, and then Miles Cole.
Practice
edge. Yeah, one tackle and a half sack in the preseason thus far. Let's switch gears, buddy. Because Saturday at noon Eastern Standard Time on ESPN, the Florida State Seminoles travel to Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland, to face off against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Woo, week zero, baby.
I don't care that it's in Ireland. It could be a combination of Antarctica and Alaska, but whatever. It is week zero. I love playing week zero because you know what that means? An extra bye week.
Yes,
and
it
my
does.
God, we're going to need that in 2 weeks.
Yes, we will. Florida State opens up the line minus 11. The over-under in the game is 55.5.
Under. Bet the under, bet the under, bet the under.
You always do it for four. I think in other countries anyway.
56
I don't know.
56 is a lot. They're saying it's like going to be 20. It's going to be 35-18. I don't see Florida State putting 35 points up.
No, me neither. It's the best game of the day.
Or not even 35-18, but yeah, same concept.
Easily the best game now I'm looking at it.
No, it's a week zero schedule.
Montana State at New Mexico at 4. SMU at Nevada at 8. Delaware State at Hawaii at midnight.
So. That Delaware game is actually going to be very interesting because they – did you say Delaware or Delaware State?
Delaware State.
Yeah, same thing.
No, Delaware State's an HBCU. Delaware is just a regular
school. Delaware's where Joe Flacco went to. Yeah. No, Delaware State missed their flight today, so they're going to possibly – they're trying to figure out how to get there. So that game could get canceled, so we'll see. I saw that notification come on Bleacher Report. I'm like, how do you miss a flight? But
there had to be some crazy miscommunication.
They said they missed the bus or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
Anyway, so that game could be – yeah, we'll see.
So Georgia Tech, cakewalk?
No.
No.
No and yes. So I think the D-line's going to feast. Florida State's D-line's going to feast. I just don't know about this offense. I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
If they put up 28 points – I'm good.
That's a win for me.
Yeah, just put up 28 points.
Sheesh. I'm happy with 24, to be honest.
Yeah, I really don't know how. I just don't want to. We can't lose this week after all the shit we were pissed off about last December. We cannot lose this game.
Yeah.
We can't lose to both schools in Georgia. We can't.
No, that sounds illegal, actually. I don't think that's allowed.
I do think, though, Florida State... I think Georgia Tech will keep it close. I do think Florida State will win the game. DJ Uiagalelei. I think I said it right.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. It's gonna take. I used to say his name pretty easily, but after he went to Oregon State, I didn't really care for his name anymore. Then he came back to Florida State, so I gotta relearn his name. But I think he's gonna be decent, like overall for the rest of the season. I think he might have some jitters coming out. I don't know. I do like Malik Benson. I do like Roydell Williams. I think this offense is capable of going hard, like going ham, but I think it's going to be a slow type of offense. It's not going to be like the 30-point plus performances that we had with Jordan Travis last year.
No.
I think it's going to be, if you get to 24, you're ecstatic.
Yeah, it's going to be a year.
I think the defense is going to be step up a lot this year.
Let me try and get my words right here. Jaguars 2017?
No, I think the offense would
not
be better
that
than
bad. That.
Okay. I think the offense would be better than that.
All right. Good.
Because Bortles was garbage.
I know you hated the boat. I agree. I agree that it's going to be interesting. If we score in the first quarter, I think we win the game. I think that's my goal to see. The Noles manufacture a drive, don't inherit the ball on like the 7-yard line and punch it in. That's cool and all. I want to see him manufacture a drive. Once he manufactures his first drive, I think he'll be more comfortable, and I think we'll be able to run away with the game.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. I do. I'm very curious, and I don't know if you're going to plan on watching this, but are you going to watch College Game Day? College Game Day is going to be there. Over under 6.5 signs talking about how Florida State got snubbed in the background.
Oh, over. Over.
I think over, and there's going to be some vulgar signs, I'm sure, towards Kirk Herbstreit.
Will they be booing every time he speaks?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think so. And booing Nick Saban, too. Nick Saban will be there.
Yeah. Double boos. Okay, even better.
It's going to be – they're ballsy for going to Dublin. They could have just stayed home and just relax. No, they're ballsy. But then again, there's no other game to go to, so they're like, screw it, college football's back. We're going to Dublin.
Well, I'm glad you said that about going to Dublin and just the schedule in general. You've got Georgia Tech. I still think we win, right?
Yeah, let's go over the schedule. Let's do our own predictions for this.
Let's do it here. So I'm going to go MK on this piece of paper, and then I'm going to go WL. And we got Georgia Tech, so we're going to go
win.
Boston College at home,
win.
Versus Memphis at home. That's after a bye.
Bye week, yep.
So win.
Win. And that is also Mike Norvell coaching against his old school.
Mm-hmm. Cal at home.
Win. Don't even stress that.
Then you go at SMU. And according to PFF?
This is going to be interesting.
So hang on. Let me click this real quick. According to FPI, that is our second toughest game of the season.
Yeah, probably Miami's number one. Or no, Notre Dame will be number one.
Notre Dame is number one, which is interesting. Clemson's not even on this.
Yeah, because Clemson sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but the preseason ranking, whatever. Okay, yeah, so as of right now, that game is on September 27th, so we're over a month out.
28th.
Oh, it says September 27th right here.
It's on 28th. It's a Saturday.
And it says 28 right here, too. That's... Oh, so they got it wrong on this part of ESPN. Anyway.
As usual, ESPN is just full of shit.
Yeah, 58% chance to win that game.
Man, that's tough. SMU's fans are definitely not happy with how Florida State's been treating them in the lawsuit against the ACC. So,
and they are 17% odds to make the playoff next year.
Yeah, SMU's got they're a dark horse. They're because they can win the ACC. I do think Florida State wins that game. I do.
Yeah, me too. It's a tough. That one is one that I forgot about, honestly.
Yeah, because,
I was like, oh, crap, I forgot they're even in the conference, and then we got to go there. So the next week we have Clemson at home.
I think we lose that game. I think Dabo is going to go after DJU. I just have a feeling.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say DJU is going to come out and play strong.
Fair enough.
At Duke.
Win. Friday night action.
That's another after a bye.
Yeah. So. I think they'll be rested. They'll be good to go. I think they'll win that game.
Mm-hmm. At Miami.
Win. Hard Rock is Tallahassee South. Come on. It's in Miami, so fuck you, Miami. I'll never... Until you beat Florida State, I'm always going to pick against you. And it's literally Doak South, by the way.
Yep.
The amount of... Over, under 50%... 50... No, 60% Florida State fans in that stadium.
Over.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Just,
they have no fans.
They don't. North Carolina at home.
Win.
And then at Notre Dame.
Loss.
I don't...
That's not a conference game. It won't matter, so... It won't really matter
when that game. Charleston Southern win, and then the Gators
at home.
I'm saying win.
And that's a win, yeah. Don't give. Yeah, 10-2, baby.
10-2, 11-1.
And I think that's Florida State going to go to the ACC championship game, and I think they'll win that, and they'll be back in the playoff.
So I'm doing the ESPN All-State Playoff Bracket Predictor. I've selected Florida State.
Oh, they have that? I was looking for that the other day, but I only saw for four teams, not for 10 teams.
Oh,
they
got it for... 1, 2, 3.
They got it for the 12 teams.
6, 7. Yeah, they have it for 28 teams right here that you can pick from.
Are you sure you can pick all 12? You can pick 12 teams. It's not the 14.
No, watch. Just watch. Just lean over here real quick. So I have selected Florida State, and then I'm going to pick. I have to choose the winner of their toughest matchup. So we're going to beat SMU. We're going to beat Miami. We're going to lose to Notre Dame. So now we say, are we going to win the conference championship? Yes, we will. And now it's going to calculate the probability to make the CFP. 100% to make the playoffs, 100% first round bye.
You think we get fucked by the CFP again?
Of course. Here we go. You're good. Yeah, you do that. Your bracket here has us as a 3 seed facing off the winner of Missouri and Toledo.
I would love that matchup.
They actually have Missouri beating us in this game to face Notre Dame upsetting Georgia.
That definitely ain't happening.
I mean, they also have Virginia Tech.
Okay, I will say Virginia Tech, I can see being a sleeper this year in the ACC. So that's just what I think.
So, yeah, 92% chance to face Missouri, 8% chance to play Toledo. Let's do it one more time. Same thing. I'm just going.
So are you picking, choose one team to make the CFP?
Yep.
Click on, let's see. Click on the, are the Gators on here?
Hell no.
That's so funny. They're not even one of the teams. Click on Miami. I'm curious.
Okay, so we're going to click on Miami. So now we have to pick the winner of the team's toughest matchups.
Click Miami beating Florida.
Beating Florida.
Beating Louisville.
Beating Louisville.
Losing to Florida State.
Losing to Florida State.
I'm curious where this is going to go.
Will they win their conference championship game?
No, because they never win anything.
So will they even make the game?
Yes, they'll lose to us again.
Okay. So they'll go and they'll lose. That makes their chances to make the playoffs 85%, 36% chance to host the first round, and 48% to be the first round visitor. Their slot is against Wisconsin.
And then we have at Florida State at 4.
Yeah, they have Florida State at 4 playing Notre Dame.
Again.
Get hosed. So they're slated to play Wisconsin, which Wisconsin loses that game. Miami beats them, and they play Georgia, and they get...
Interesting. Actually, I was looking for something like this the other day. But I guess it's not what I really want, because I want to see if I can pick all 12 and just go from... Like, I would have wanted to post a screenshot of, like, my 12 teams that I want in that I think will make the playoffs.
Well... For those of you that are interested, if you want to play around with this, a lot of these top-tier teams are on here already. The number one odds are Georgia at 79%. Two is Oregon at 76%.
Ohio State's got to be like 75%.
No, no one else in the 70s. You've got Texas at 68%, Ohio State at 67%. Then you go to the 50s with Notre Dame at 59%, Penn State at 59%, Bama at 57%, and then a severe drop-off to the 30s. 37% for Missouri, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. 36% for Florida State. And then the 20s, Michigan at 28%, Clemson at 27%, LSU at 25%, Kansas 24%, Kansas State 21%, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss also at 21%. And then the teams, Louisville, Miami, SMU, Boise State, Arizona, UTSA rounded out.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this is a fun little site. Just type in All-State Playoff Predictor, and you can go play around with it. It's kind of fun. It's all, you know, based off their data or whatever.
I kid you not, I was looking for something like this 3 days ago. Like, I'm pretty sure it was last week, and I was looking for something like this. So that's actually really funny they launched it.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to kind of see, you know, what this playoff predictor has. I just did it again for Florida State with the exact same things we just said. And instead of this time, it says we could potentially play Tennessee or Oregon State. And it has us playing Tennessee.
They're going to always have random teams.
I'm sorry. It has us beating Tennessee and then going and playing Kansas.
Kansas can win the Big
12.
And
losing to Kansas.
Kansas is a very good team.
Holy cow.
It's not Kansas bad. It's not your father's Kansas team. It's a decent
or
team.
Or the Kansas from... Well, actually, there was that one really good Kansas team when I was a kid. But
yeah, 07.
Yeah, the crazy year.
Yeah, 07-08 when Kansas and Missouri were number one and two in the country.
Yeah, and I think that was the same year that USF was really good, too.
Yeah, and USF, yep.
Mm-hmm. Memphis, too, maybe?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I could be wrong. But, yeah, okay, so
I think
10-2, 11-1.
I don't see Florida State lose. Honestly, give me 8-4, I'm happy. They can lose their tough games because of whatever. I really do think they're – Like, if you ask 30 Florida State fans, they're going to probably go 9 to 10 wins. And their over-under, ironically, set by Vegas, is 9.5. So,
Well, would you look at that? It's going to be an interesting season. I'm happy that college football is coming back to a television near you. Get ready for week 0. And, of course, we'll get you ready each week for Florida State and Florida. We'll get Skylar on and talk about the Gators.
Yeah, next week if we get on, because it's going into Florida State, Miami. I'm sorry, Florida, Miami.
Which is going to be an interesting topic of discussion.
Go Hurricanes. We cannot afford Florida State fans need to root for Miami.
Yeah.
Because ACC, you need to have the ACC strong when you beat them.
I agree.
Yeah, go Canes.
Oof. I should screen grab that.
Yeah.
Play that back.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so That's FSU. We're just going to wrap things up here. We've had a pretty good episode. Let's see where we're at time-wise. Yeah, we're about over half an hour. I actually saw, I'm pretty sure that was you on Twitter that tagged me.
Oh, I tagged you in that. I was going to ask you if you saw Twitter today because I was really hoping to surprise you live on air.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I saw it as soon as it came out. Rock'em Sox actually reposted it, and I saw. I had heard rumors about it coming back. Somebody had posted something that was like the logo, and I was like, oh, boy, this is coming. I forgot that it was this morning until they posted it. But, yes, the Backyard Sports franchise is coming back.
What a year for 2024. You bring back college football. You possibly bring back backyard sports in the same year.
It's a strong year. Yeah.
It is a pretty damn good year, like, for sports games.
It is. It is. And
although I was – do you watch the video, right?
I did, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I may have to rewatch it, but it looked like it was just the baseball was thrown around, correct?
Correct, but they say backyard sports returning. And in this picture right here, Pablo is holding a football. Ernie is spinning a basketball on his finger. Ahmed is kicking a soccer ball. And Pete is holding a hockey stick. So it looks like baseball would probably be first because that was the first game to come out in 97 anyway. I still play that game. I played it today, actually. I still play the original game because it's that good. But
I noticed that. I'm like, huh? Because I noticed the video. I saw it. I'm like, pretty sure it was just the baseball being used because I saw a baseball thrown and hit.
Right,
and
right.
Play ball.
Because that's going to be the marquee one. Everybody liked baseball the best. It was their best iteration.
I like football one more. Then again,
football was fun too.
To be
fair,
I didn't like. I never got into baseball like you guys did.
Right,
so it makes
right.
sense. But I love the football one. But then again, makes sense why baseball is the number one iteration because it was America's game at one point in the 90s.
Yeah, and it was the original release in 97. The original Backyard Kids, it was just them. Once you got into some of the other sports, they started introducing the pros. Backyard Baseball 2001 was the first one with pros. It had like Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, all those guys.
I remember football one, they had some legends too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, yeah. Randall Cunningham, Brett Favre, Drew Bledsoe.
Bledsoe was, yeah.
Jerry Rice, Barry Sanders, all those good guys. I could talk about backyard sports in an entire podcast myself, but I'll just leave it at this. They announced it's coming back. The group is called Playground Productions. I looked them up. Their website has absolutely nothing on it except for the people's names that, you know, are the CEO and the CPO, the Chief Product Officer. I hope they're releasing more stuff soon because right now it's like, okay, you've made an announcement. What's the timeline? What's all this stuff? So the Twitter is just a brand new Twitter account that's just underscore backyard sports. So it's all very kind of sketchy right now. You know, everyone that's reporting it, I've read an article on SI, New York Times, and a couple of the other, you know, big names picked it up. But like, I want to see more to know that it's 100% coming back.
Which is fair, understandable. I mean, it seems legit. I mean, honestly, everyone was saying the same thing about college football for years. But then
Agreed.
But then
and
when
it
they
took them a
when
long
they
time and
tweeted
it finally did.
It's coming back, it just took time to get it perfect. It may not come out this year, but it may take another year or two for it to really develop to what it needs to be to catch up with the modern times of a video game because it is a lot. College football took 3 years. Then again, college football had to deal with lawsuits and different factors.
NIL,
but this one's just a children's game. Like, it's not, there shouldn't be an issue with it. But.
Well, and that brings me to my second and final point here. Also, the company Playground Productions is a company on their website. They claim that they focus on like educational things. And a quote from Lindsay Barnett, their founder and CEO, said, "Backyard sports is more than just a game, it's a cherished part of childhood for millions of people. I look at media as the largest classroom in the world. As such, our goal is to produce meaningful content that not only entertains, but also educates and inspires. The return of backyard sports is the perfect embodiment of that goal." So are they going to make it educational? Are they going
to
try and...
I think there might. I mean, to be fair, they kind of did do that with the original games, didn't they? From my memory serves me correctly, they taught you how to play it. Or no, is it just like strictly just, I could be wrong because I haven't played it in forever.
No, like if you booted up Backyard Baseball for the first time, you can go play now or you can go create a season.
So they didn't tell you like, hey, you have to go first base or like to explain the meaning of baseball?
No, no rules, no rule explanations in any of the games that I can think of. Maybe in some of the later ones, but not in the early ones. But that's not educational to me. That's just, you know, telling you how to play the game. I'm thinking like, are they going to make it like, here comes the pitch, hurry, type in 2+2, what's the answer to that so you can actually hit the ball or something like that.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so...
If it's like that, then I don't think it's going to work out.
No, no. So we'll see. We got a lot of time before anything else comes out. No, Jason Kelce is not involved in the relaunch, even though so many people wanted him to be. He brought it up a couple months ago on the podcast or something, talking about how he was looking into trying to buy the rights to the game. No. It's football season. I haven't even started. I'm already over the Kelces. They're so annoying. Hot take from Keith. Yeah, sure. Hate me all you want, but that is my take. Oh, and to end things, I forgot, Mike, you did mention baseball.
Oh, yeah. It's funny.
Mike's MLB.
Hang on. I listened to the May episode last week. I had my MLB update. Yeah, my two teams that I picked are very much, pretty much out of the playoff running.
No.
Yeah. Don't give me false hope here.
I mean, the Cubs could still make it. So you had the Rangers and the Cubs.
Yeah, the Rangers are 10 games below 500. At the time of recording, there are 3 games above 500.
Where am I looking here? Let's see. The Rangers. Yeah, the Rangers had a really big fall off after the All-Star break. They have been absolutely putrid since then. So they're 10 games out.
They're 10 games below 500, and they're 12.5 behind the wild card.
Cubbies are 5.5 out.
They're not that far. Actually, not as far back as I thought. But
they got a lot of people ahead of them. That's their biggest issue. And Skyler and I talked about that last week. You know, it's great when you see the Reds beat the Cardinals, but the Reds are still in front of the Cubs too, so it's just gonna make it harder for them. So,
well, it's funny, Cardinals, Cubs, and Reds are all together.
Yeah, that's kind of why I said it, because I was looking at all three of them. But they are all, yeah, they're all right there. But
the Braves, honestly, I'm impressed with the Braves. From what I've seen, I swear every time I go on Twitter, someone's hurt.
Yeah, they're completely broken,
and they're still in the wild card race.
That's because the NL's so wishy washy sometimes, man. I mean, look at the AL records compared to the NL records. It's just. Actually, it's kind of closer in the wild card this year.
I would say it's pretty similar.
But if you look at the top,
73 and 52 for the
Yankees and O's are just trading places in first place.
So are Philly, Dodgers, and Milwaukee. And honestly, San Diego and Arizona is a few games apart from each other.
San Diego has actually been one of the hottest teams in baseball. Same with the Brewers. Brewers have been really good. Both 7-3 in their last
game. Of course, the year I don't pick the Brewers.
Yeah, I know, right? This might be, and I'm not going to do the research because I just don't care, but this might be the first year that both of your teams have not, like, might not make the playoffs. I feel like every year at least one of them has made
it. If someone has actually kept track of this, please let us know.
I wish we had a bookkeeper.
Yeah, we do, but I think we only did the last 2 years of recording.
Probably.
Like, on a Chick-fil-A book.
Yeah. I have them in there, so it's not worth it, but. Anyway, yeah, no, appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. Another episode of Dimes on Duval presented by Nerdy Nuts here. Glad to have Mike back in the studio. We'll have Skyler back next week. He'll be able to tell us, hopefully, about his trip to Miami to go see the Marlins play. And, yeah, we won't talk. Oh, you weren't on the last episode. We talked a lot of NASCAR.
Yeah, I saw that, and I plan on skipping through all of the NASCAR talk.
It was actually really interesting. I'll talk to you more about it off here. For this episode of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts, he's Mike Yashi. I'm Keith Manzi, signing off, and we'll catch you next time.
Final note on 2023 season, Knowles got snubbed.